そしてテーブルの上にはサントリーウイスキーがあります。わかりますね。感情を込めてゆっくりとカメラを見て優しく、そしてあなたの古い友達に会うように言ってください。カサブランカのボギーのように。君の瞳に乾杯。サントリータイム。
He wants you to turn, look in camera. Okay?
That's all he said?
Yes. Turn to camera.
All right, does he want me to turn from the right or turn from the left?
彼の方はもう準備ができてます。それでスタートがかかったときにカメラの方に振り向くときに左から振り向けばいいのか右から振り向けばいいのか、その辺のところはいかがなさいましょうかということなんですけれども、
どっちだっていいんだよ。もう関係ないんだから、そんなもの時間がないんだよ、ボブさん。ね、だからもう早くあなたもうテンション上げてカメラを見て、カメラ目線でゆっくりと、ね、パッションが、カメラ目にはパッションだよ、分かった？
And, with intensityOkay.
Is that everything? I mean, it seemed like he said quite a bit more than that.
あなたの言ってることはウイスキーのことだけじゃないんだから。わかる？古い友達に会うように、優しく、ジェントリーにね、そして心から湧き上がってくるテンション、これ忘れちゃダメだよ。
Like an old friend and into the camera.
Okay.
Ground control to Major Tom.Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on.Check ignition and may God's love be with you.
Hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
Guys, it's been a rough week.
Yeah, it's been a real rough week. What did you have to do this week again, Andrew?
I mean, we watched movies this week. It's hard.
Uh-huh. And what else did you have to do?
Not do anything.
Yeah, you're a fucking ass.
But anyways, this week we're here to talk about the film starring Kyle Mooney of SNL fame, Brigsby Bear.
Everything's very big. It's really very big.
The reason you're here, the reason I'm here, is all just to help you.
Everyone says they're trying to help me, but nobody can find me the new episode of Brigsby.
There wasn't a new episode this week. This is about moving on with the rest of your life.
Try to imagine a hero.
Just be normal.
I can just, I hear, I smell, I feel the, the just disdain in that title right there, in the way you said that title.
This nuclear weapon that was vaulted upon the podcast comes to us via Kim Jong-un of podcasting co-hosts,
yes.
Douglas Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Douglas. Before you even start,
yeah,
because I don't need to know how you got here. Like, there are enough hints that I kind of see where it's coming from.
Wow.
I need you to do two things for me.
This is serious.
I need you to do two very serious things for me.
All right.
I need you to, number one, just give me the summation of the movie so that I feel like we started talking about a movie that exists. And I need you to tell me what character you prefer Mark Hamill in all of this film.
Oh, I thought that was cool. So, okay. So, all right. This movie is, it's essentially the, what's the name of that show, Netflix show? The Adventure of Kimmy Schmidt? Is that it?
That is a show.
What's that?
That is a show.
Yes, it is. It is a shitty show, but it is a show. Ha ha! Damien just hit me. Actually, I should try again. But I didn't like it the first time I watched it. But anyway, it's that basic premise, which is Kyle Mooney, who...
Paul Mooney.
No, this, you asshole, you've got me.
Nicely done, Damien. Nicely done. I'll applaud that one.
Yeah, so Kyle Mooney is, I'm not quite sure how old he is, but let's say he's in his mid-20s.
Yes, at 25.
Oh, do they? Okay, cool. Yes. So he's 25, and you see him, he starts off in this sort of post-apocalyptic sort of dome and underground shelter with his family, with weird religious rituals and a very strange television show that he obsesses about. And you find out, and it's kind of telegraphed, or maybe I just decided, because that would be the stupidest thing for this to do, and it ends up being that he actually, there is no Holocaust, or that's the wrong word to use, no apocalypse.
Are you telling me you're a Holocaust denier, Douglas?
yes, Andrew, I deny, yes. Holocaust.
There's none,
because I meant to use apocalypse, right? I deny that Holocaust and apocalypse are synonyms.
The news has just chimed in. Douglas is being accused of Holocaust denying. He's now being ostracized and is no longer allowed to podcast. Damon, we saved ourselves. Gosh. We got him.
We got him.
Yep. So there is no apocalypse. Mm-hmm. These people are just crazy. They've kidnapped him from when he was a child and raised him as into this weirdo.
I find that's the best time to kidnap people.
Yeah, I think so.
Children.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Harder the older they get.
Yeah, because have you tried? Then you have to think about, is it still kidnapping? Is it teen napping or adult napping? Or, you know, entitled little... You have to... Kidnapping always works well when they're kids. So... Yeah, he was kidnapped, and he finally gets put back together with his actual family, or his biological family. And this movie is really about him essentially dealing with reintegrating and getting over his connection to these horrible people who he loved for 25 years or 20 years. So that's what this movie is about. And it does it in this kind of weird, artsy, hippie, I wish I was the guy that made all of the movies that we love kind of way, right? And it's definitely not great. But what I would say about this movie is it was fine. So there are a couple of things. One, I did not realize, all I knew about who was attached to this movie was Kyle Mooney. And I kind of knew, actually didn't know the story either. I just knew there was a bear, because that was in the name.
Yes,
the
Kim Jong-un, I understand. I know this about you.
Right.
But so it was weird for me to see all of these people. This movie has genuine, it's hard to say star power, but solid B-level star power, right? It starts off with Mark Hamill, as you say, Andrew, who
is well known for the Joker.
He is for the Joker, yeah.
Yes.
He is, actually, but I was thinking more that other thing that he did.
Batman?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
but so he came on screen, and I remember I actually responded audibly when I was the only person in the room. And then you start to see people like Claire Danes, Vladimir Putin.
You don't know his name, do you?
Greg Kinnear. You know, all of these people that are, you know, even if you don't know their name, you know them from somewhere. And that was kind of cool. And I enjoyed some of the weird sort of awkwardness that he had, and the fact that he was only able to really connect with his younger sister's friends, who I imagine couldn't be more than 18 and were probably closer to 16, 17, because they were at some level in high school. And the sometimes more than borderline inappropriate relationships that were had there. And this movie ended up being... and it's one of those weird things that it's so... so kind of just in your face, but I didn't mind pieces of it. It ends up being him trying to make a movie about Brigsby Bear, which, as I said, is this one TV show that he had, and he had stacks and stacks and stacks of VHS videotapes of in his bunker that he kept that relationship with, and that he still obsessed over, and that he wanted to make a movie about. And it ended up being him making a movie to essentially end that obsession with the bear, which of course is a metaphor for him ending that relationship with his let's call them his adoptive parents.
Douglas, my quick question, watching this movie, do you really think that this is an end of an obsession?
I think that's what the movie wants you to think. You can decide, because you don't like this movie, that he's, you know, in deep and will continue and be a crazy person.
I remember him winking at something at the end.
Yes,
of the
he
movie.
Did, and then it disappeared, and that was what that's supposed to be. Because this movie isn't particularly strong. But at the end of the day, after when I watched all of it, I was fine with it. It was okay. There were enough small moments that I was cool with it. You know, I liked things like how overexcited everybody got about how they loved the content, the videos from Brigsby Bear. And I actually loved the Brigsby Bear videos. They were just dumb. And they were essentially Michel Gondry level, Be Kind, Rewind level short films, which, if done right, and they kind of did them right and dumb here, especially when you have the voice talents and puppet or crazy face talents of Mark Hamill. Those on their own are fun to watch. But, you know, I await your guys' just wrath and fire and fury, given that we're in that whole, you know,
so Damien,
vibe.
Hi. We have this challenge every 3 weeks.
Yep.
Right, in which we are accosted. But I find it more and more often that what I'm more interested in is you, Damien. Hi. As I ask you this question, I think I've asked a few times this year when we get to this time of the podcast, every 3 weeks. How much do you buy Douglas's defense?
What defense? He didn't defend the movie.
But
he said words.
He tried to skirt around saying bad. I want to hear, like, how much do you believe of what he said?
No. So what Douglas does, and all of us do it to an extent, Douglas just gets to put on this mask the most because he picks the worst movies, is there's times because you pick the movie and you don't want to bring on the stabbing that you're about to receive onto yourself, you say words and then go silent and pray that no one remembers. It's like a distraction. It doesn't work because we have to talk about this movie. But what he essentially did was wave his hands over his face and then ran out of the room. Because there's no actual judgment of the movie. He just said the thing that the movie was. It is a movie about a boy who was kidnapped by lunatics. they made him a TV show because, of course, they're lunatics. And he grew up loving this TV show so much that it became a part of him. And when he was then taken from these lunatics, the real world didn't make sense to him. And the only way for him to transition out of it is through making a movie of Bergsby Bear. That, again, is a synopsis of this movie. By the way, you hear those words...
Quick question.
Yes.
Do we think that Kyle Mooney had internet sex with Bergsby Bear Girl 1?
I'm assuming... That is the only thing I can assume.
Because...
Right, he said,
yeah.
Even Bergsby Bear Girl 1? But the problem with this movie is that they ask you to accept something ridiculous. And you think they're playing it for laughs, or they're going to at some point. They're going to be, look how ridiculous this shit is. The problem is, the people in the movie watching the videos that we don't get to see are enjoying the ridiculousness of Bergsby Bear way more than we do. This movie thinks it's as a drama, but it isn't. Because the story it's telling is not the... Like, that is not the drama part of the story. There's a more serious story to be told about the situation. That is not what they did. And they also didn't take it the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt route, which is to go as over the top as possible, which is where they should have gone. The scene in the house with the party, you're like, all right, I see what you guys are kind of trying to do, but you're bad at it. And by the time the movie ends, none of it is earned. Like that ended, where the movie should have ended is when I went back to the house and saw them building all the shit in garage. Should have just been credits. Because the movie's done. There's nothing more to be gained by the next 10 minutes of whatever the hell that was. That didn't help anybody. Right? The family is now on his side. Hurrah. Of course, he finished the movie. Like, none of that. And you'd go, oh, maybe he'll give Mark Hamill some redemption by going. But the drama part of the movie is bad. And then the comedy part of the movie is extra bad. Because this movie, to me, it feels like what Orange is the New Black feels like.
I feel like that's always your beaten stick.
No, where someone tells you, someone says, this is supposed to be funny, but it isn't. And then they change their minds and they're like, no, Damon, this is a serious show about serious shit. And then you keep watching and like, you're also wrong here. You're 0 for 2. I don't know what the fuck this is, but this is neither of those things. This is not a drama about a prison, and this is also not a funny show about women in prison. It is somewhere in the middle, and it is bad. It is like Girls, bad. And that is what this movie... Like, that is the same feeling I felt the entire time watching this movie, where someone thinks they're making something, but it's in this weird in-between part where I cannot imagine it satisfying anybody. But every review I've read for this piece of garbage, people are like, they're so deftly trans, go from the... And you're like, you guys must have seen a better version of this movie. Maybe Google Play got the shit version. Just like, maybe SD stands for shitty definition. I don't know. But what I do know is that despite the clear acting talent that is on display, the actors in this movie are trying. The story they're telling, though, is bad. And there's no comedy. So this is... Look, we've seen Wolf Warrior, so I can't get as upset as I should. Right? Wolf Warrior is still a show. And then it was followed up by something even worse, but I'm not going to name that. But this movie sucks. This is real trash.
What movie did I get super upset about last week again?
We don't just...
I don't even remember.
It's good that you don't.
Lady Macbeth.
We just move on.
God damn it, Andrew. You shouldn't have let me know. Don't tell me these things.
But you just asked me.
No, he didn't. No one asked. And this movie sucks.
So, like, Douglas, this movie is god-awful. And let me explain a few things as to why. right? The first half of this movie, which we've talked about crazily, about the fact that he's just leaving this crazy situation and going to the real world and not knowing how to interact with the real world and being the awkward, just lost child.
Is this the real world Miami or the real world New York? Which one are we talking about?
This is Rob Thomas's real world. So no, it would have been Matchbox 20. Didn't go solo then. Matchbox 20.
Like watching that half of the movie when all of that is going on, I sat there cringing at every supposed joke. Not because they weren't funny as such. Not because it didn't do what we want all of these crazy, weird, dark comedies to do, where they kind of walk into this in-between space of social norms and we're just kind of like, oh, I guess that's strange, so it's funny. But maybe it's partially because all of that time I spent just feeling sorry for this guy that Cal Mooney was playing, where I'm like, I want to hug him, right? I want to help him. But every situation where you see things go awry and they try to play it for jokes, it never turns into this awkwardly weird fun comedy. It just feels almost like someone is making fun of him for some reason. I'm not even sure if that's the way the movie was supposed to play out, but I just sat there feeling sorry for him. Like, I wanted people to be able to help him move forward. And even though you see some scenes, I don't know if it happened early enough, but you see some scenes later on with Claire Danes as the therapist. Yeah. And you hear them talk about things to do. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this doesn't feel funny. It just feels... It feels sad.
Yeah. Right? She's also a bad therapist in this one.
All of it.
That is some shitty therapy.
Yeah.
I've never been to therapy. I'm pretty sure the therapist shouldn't be the most aggressive person in the room.
And all of that.
So I don't know if that was played for jokes. But it wasn't funny.
You know what? You're not working very well. Yeah. Let's just go straight to... Do not pass go.
Yeah.
Go straight to...
I don't think a therapist should... When you go to a therapist, the therapist just look at you and go, stop it. Just stop it.
And then literally the second half of this movie, which has to do with like the making of the Brigsby Bear movie. Like this movie, after spending the first half me sitting there just cringing and being sad at everything going on, like it started trying to be Son of Rambo. And Damien,
yes.
You and I know what Son of Rambo looks like. We know what happiness is.
Yeah, that is magic.
Right?
This movie is not that.
This movie thought it earned a Son of Rambo quirk. When you get to see Greg Kinnear act a shitty acting role for jokes, I'm not saying that isn't on the page funny. Because literally, if I took that scene with Greg Kinnear... acting as the wizard, took it out and just played that clip for you alone, we'd probably think that scene is wonderful.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, it's a dumb scene of Greg Kinnear being like, I am a wizard with all of these crazy Brigsby words. Like, that is where the movie then completely twisted into all of the comedies that we know and love. It's like, Son of Rambo, it's like, what was that one? Sing Street, right? Where everything was just loving about how like bad 80s movies are or how bad homemade
it's not
movies
a good
are.
Movie,
and it's.
You know what he means, though.
It's just fucking awful, right? What this movie does. And sure, Damien, I agree with you. If I was in the editing room and you asked me, can you make it better? I would have ended it where you mentioned. I never even thought about it, but when you said it, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's a better ending this movie could have offered you. Because you get the emotional satisfaction, as you say, of knowing everyone's finally coming together. Right. Even in this broken, weird, sad way.
Yep.
But that doesn't make the movie good even if you did that. Like, this movie's just god-awful. And damn, like... There are actually a lot of SNL people in here, given that Cal Mooney wrote it and was all... And damn it, this movie is awful.
How many SNL people are in this movie?
There is Andy Samberg.
Oh yes, I forgot he was in this.
There's the other. Yeah, he took the me by other surprise. Detective is Beck Bennett. Who?
Yeah,
is...
no, his name is Vladimir Putin.
Yes, Putin.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Who else?
The director was a writer from SNL and the other writer.
A writer. He's not from SNL.
Great. All right. One of the extras was a boom mic operator.
Yeah, I know, right? Come on. Yeah. Anybody else?
Speaking of boom mics.
There was one other person I'm trying to remember.
Establishing shots. That one's for you, Douglas.
Oh. So, Andrew, now that we've moved on from this movie because... Yeah.
Speaking of shitty movies.
Speaking of.
Kirby's still bad.
Yeah. And by the way.
Like real bad.
All three of us can talk about this movie because.
I put it on the list.
All three. Oh, it's on the list?
Mm-hmm. On the spreadsheet that you don't check at any point.
I do check. That's why I knew this one today. So, do we have to talk about this in another podcast?
No. I put it on the list for this podcast.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. So, all three of us saw Justice League.
I saw Ostis Leg.
Ostis Leg.
Did it actually cut off the G?
No, it was too narrow, but...
You know...
The movie was in 4:3.
We can kind of give... It wasn't exactly 4:3.
Sorry.
But it was not 16:9.
4.5:3.
And I don't know if I should give them the benefit of the doubt because nothing seemed to be cut off.
They cut off the top. You could see clearly that the top part of the
screen...
You think
so?
I'm not asking, I'm telling you. There was a point where they were panning up to something. And the thing that Bruce was looking at, we didn't see on the screen till they changed the shot. No director is that bad.
Maybe because I kind of decided that it
because
was a
you gave
shit
up.
Movie.
No, you gave up watching this movie the second it started.
Yeah, I did. This movie turned out to be just Avengers 2 all over again. Yeah. But
it's not terrible.
Oh, no. Douglas.
Uh-huh.
I may not like this movie that much, but it's not Avengers too bad.
No. So actually, I don't think this movie is necessarily
it's not bad.
Bad, right? It's watchable, but it's not good.
This movie can come out after Thor and stand a chance.
Absolutely.
Not in my mind.
But, so we had a more colorful experience than you did, Andrew, because we went to the Caribbean.
You went to the best place of movies.
You went to a cinema. Yeah. What's that?
You went to the best place that shows movies.
Yeah. So, first of all, the AC wasn't on again, which was great.
I think Caribbean might be a cemetery where movie and joy goes to die.
Yeah. So... I was quite wet.
That's why you should have gone to the 3D showing. You would have gotten AC as well.
Right. That's
well,
what
no,
the third D
there's
is.
There's no D in AC. Right. I mean, come on.
I mean, there's a D in conditioning.
Yeah, but... one of the few things that I was able to laugh at was... And no, this has nothing to do with the movie. When... In the middle of the beginning, because this movie had a beginning that lasted about an hour. In the middle of the beginning of the movie, when we were meeting all of the
Avengers.
Justices.
All of the Revengers.
Right.
And I think we had reached now Iceland or wherever the hell that place was, and mm-hmm. we're looking for Iron Man. Iron Man Ratty.
His name is Thor.
Aquaman. Mm-hmm.
He's in the ocean now.
Yes,
and he has a pitchfork. Yes. His name is Thorstil.
Thorstil?
Yeah.
His name is Thorsty because he's gone underwater to drink all of it.
Water Thor.
So, some guy just randomly shouts out, "It's an establishing shot."
Yeah.
And for the life of me, for the rest of the movie,
I saw, like, I heard it. And was just going to go, well, fucking Carib. And then Douglas was beside me, and I heard Douglas break. Like, Douglas, I heard. Because Douglas wanted to not laugh, and does the thing he does whenever he's trying hard to not laugh, which is make it worse. I'm like, Douglas, I also heard. Establish it, and Douglas just lost it. Just deep shit.
Fuck is this? To be fair to the guy, uh-huh. It actually was an establishing shot.
Who gives a shit, Douglas? No one. Who says that in a movie? Tracking shot. Continue your shot.
You should sit down behind him and be like, mise en scène.
God damn. Oh my word.
Oh,
Dutch
he's
angle.
He's a real movie buff. He knows what an establishing shot is. So yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So our experience was quite wonderful.
I want to when they invent time travel or some way to look into the past, I want to scrub through my life and see if at any point was that big of a dick. Anywhere. And then for every point that I find, I'm going to have some stranger outside punch me in the face once.
What number do you estimate yourself at now, if you had to guess?
I think it's zero. Like, I'm an asshole, but I've never been the person. I'll do it internally, is what I'll do. Like, I'll
Overwatch.
Hear people having, huh?
Overwatch.
No, yeah, but the Overwatch thing is funny to me. Like, that's a joke for me. I'm talking about, oh, I know what, like, going to a basketball match or a football match and out loud to whoever explaining the nuances of something that no one gives a shit about. Like, oh, did you know that the pitch is 94 foot long or some fucking nonsense foolish? No one cares about.
Oh, God. But Damien, it's not regulation.
Yeah. You feel better? You feel better.
So Justice League.
Oh right, we have to talk about. Do we have to talk about that movie?
Because
I only saw 2/3 of that movie. Literally. Andrew was. It was laughable this time. Like the curtains were opened all the way, and then in the very center of the screen.
I'm pretty sure what they were doing is because they wanted to use less screen,
mm-hmm.
so that they could use less battery. That's clearly what was happening.
I've actually, so completely separate from whatever Carib is doing, because whatever I'm about to say is not mm-hmm. apologizing for Carib, right? But I've heard
you started out the wrong way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of people talking about a lot of like. We're going to use bad. Damien will get triggered and say horrible things when I say this out loud.
Yes.
But a lot of people who care a lot about the cinema experience, right, complain about certain things that happen in cinemas. And one of the things they I've seen people complain about at the crazy level is masking, which is what you guys are talking about with the curtains at the side. In the theater, where technically the masking is supposed to go straight up to the edge of whatever they're projecting. Mm-hmm. And that was done when people were doing film, because in film you have those jagged edges constantly, because it's not uniform and whatever. And I've heard people talking about technology-wise, how due to the fact that we're switching over to digital in a lot of cinemas, the masking, the theater presenters are saying it doesn't matter because digitally the edges are so clean that are being projected that you don't need the masking to do what it did before. But people are still up in arms. And I just thought of that as a weird thing to say, talking about the curtains going wide and the 4x3 and such.
Yeah, they really should keep recording all of the film on vinyl.
Because, you know,
and play it through the tubes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, Justice League.
Right.
The great comic
Ezra
book
Miller
movie.
Ezra Miller is stupendous in this movie.
Yeah, he's
and
he's
with
good.
And we knew that was going to happen.
I have a feeling though that a whole movie like that might not work.
I'm pretty sure he could get it done.
Maybe. I like Ezra Miller.
If,
he's all right, so good.
Put it this way. If Taika Waititi and Ezra Miller came together... Ezra Miller is a better comedic actor than our boy Thor. So, yeah.
Are you sure?
100%.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. But Ezra Miller is funny in things where he's not a dipshit. Thor is always a dipshit. That's the thing that's funny about him. I don't want to hear this.
It's too loud.
Eyes over glass. People still don't like that movie.
Because they're fucking morons.
So bad.
That movie is so good, right? That not only
Ghostbusters, by the way.
Ghostbusters, for the yeah.
Three people that don't
Not only did it make me like a movie with that woman in it.
Yes.
Charlize Theron. McCartney.
Kate Blanchett.
But it, on top of having that handicap.
Meryl Streep?
It essentially, it was, it is the reason why I love Kate McKinnon so much. Like, Kate McKinnon can no longer do any wrong for me.
We thought that about Kate Blanchett. She did us dirty.
But will that change anything?
No, we'll still watch it. Yeah. But no, we'll go in with skepticism.
No, no, you're like,
I don't trust this.
You have the one.
Yeah.
We can move on from here. But Damien, I literally watch almost every episode of SNL now.
Just to see her.
Kate McKinnon, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy is a dream. I understand.
All of that from a Melissa McCarthy movie. A movie is so good.
Like the thing
have
with
no right to be as
the thing
as
with
it
the, with this Justice League movie, a movie that we don't need to talk about because picture in your head what a Justice League movie is, and it's not as good as that. The league teaming up.
It had Green Lantern in it though.
It did. With the league teaming up. Also found out there's a second post-credit scene.
Oh, after, of course there is.
But yeah. I was going to watch it and then I remembered how little I cared.
I could tell you what it was.
By the way,
I still won't care.
That
I know you won't care, but I'm saying if you want, I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Please tell me.
They showed Deathstroke and Lex Luthor.
All right. I know what a Lex Luthor is. What in Christ's name is a Deathstroke?
Oh, you don't watch the Arrow. Oh,
don't watch the Arrow.
He's Two-Face.
He's not Two-Face.
Well, when he puts on the mask, he's Two-Face.
He's more Deadpool than Two-Face. He's just a mercenary with swords and guns and shoots things.
Is he fun?
Yes. Well, he's not funny.
Is he Deadpool fun?
No, he's murdery. That's it.
Deadpool is also murdering.
But he doesn't make jokes while he murders.
No, he doesn't.
Boo!
But then
and
again,
it's played...
So then he's just the Will Smith character, except he has a cutlass, doesn't he?
Yes, he has a sword.
Of course.
And
I wonder how
he's
many people,
being played by
not
Joe
in
Manganiello.
Jamaica knows what a cutlass is.
I hope. They think it's a car. Cutlass Supreme.
That's true.
Yeah?
That's true.
And if you think that, congratulations.
And they talk about the evil Justice League stuff, but that's completely unnecessary and no one cares because honestly, most people are like, I don't think they'll get that far.
Actually, I saw an article the other day talking about how essentially, and these things are always over, they blow up these things and over exaggerate them. And I wonder to what degree this is actually true because, listen, as much as a lot of people talk about how they hate every single one of these movies. These movies make a shitload of money.
Because they're
right?
For children.
No, and that's fine, right? But I'm just saying, everybody keeps talking about a failure after a failure after a failure when, guys, that's not how money works.
Right.
Right?
$800 million is still $800
million. Yeah. Especially when the budget was less than $800 million. Right? So, okay. Anyway, but I saw an article the other day that said that essentially they've almost given up on the whole universe, the whole DC universe thing. And what they're going to do now is to, instead of have kind of the Marvel version of DC, they're just saying, you know what? If something looks good, we'll make it. If there is a story here that somebody wants to do and it can work, we'll do it. But we don't care about the interconnectivity anymore, which I kind of think is
the better
a lie. Well, I don't care which one is better or not. Because guess what? At the end of the day, some movies will be good, some movies won't be.
The
and
hell
we'll
you
have
see.
To, yeah.
No, all the Marvel movies have been hot bangers. They're so
But
every single one of them.
Yeah, and so I really don't care.
Remember
if,
how happy we were when Doctor Strange came out? It's like, oh, fucking finally.
but I don't care if they go a certain route to get to good movies. I just... If I like it, I like it. I know a lot of people espouse their, you know, certain mindsets, but I couldn't give a shit.
A lot of those people are grown people and they shouldn't be talking about cartoons.
But yeah, so One last thing I wanted to say about this movie is, was I the only one that thought that the CG was horrible in terms of, not the general CG, it was fine. So I remember it wasn't until I saw his face that I remembered this story.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you see Superman, there's a close-up of his face, and it's clear that that's not his face. It is 100% computers and 0% effort, because it looks horrible.
Looks plastic.
And for a half a second, I said, but that doesn't make sense. He didn't die. Why is... And then I remembered he had a... Whether it was a full-on beard or a mustache for some other movie, and they had to CG it out. And that's dumb.
Yeah. I would have...
That was horrible.
No, I don't really care, but... They should have just left the full beard in and had a bearded Superman. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Superman grew a beard while he was dead. All right. I like the team. But of course, the actors did their job. They're fun around
each
other.
I actually really like the robot guy.
Yeah.
I didn't care for any of the rest of them in this movie. So I liked... I like Superman in his movie, mm-hmm. and maybe in his second one.
I'm still not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Batman Superman, we can pretend that didn't happen, except when Batman was kicking the shit out of Superman.
Oh, so good. and of course, we knew we were going to love The Flash.
Yeah.
Right?
Aquaman surprised me. I'm not a fan of that dude.
I am wishy-washy on him. He could grow on me. We'll see.
He surfs on everything that's awesome.
Who I was surprised that I really liked. I liked, and I don't even remember his name. Was it Victor? The cyborg guy.
Yeah, I don't know that dude. What's he from?
I don't think he's from... Well, he's probably been in stuff, but I don't think he's been in anything that you and I would know.
That's
sad. Or at least not in any big way.
That's sad that a person can be in one of the biggest budget movies and we've never seen. Usually we at least see them in something.
I'm looking at his IMDb page now, and literally, the first thing he was in was a short. Then there was an episode of a TV series none of us have heard, and then 2016 Batman versus Superman.
Word. Congrats, dog. or maybe it'll backfire. Maybe he'll never recover from being cyborg. There's points in that movie that I enjoyed, the action-y bits, because Snyder still knows action.
I actually think the action in this movie is kind of shitty, especially in comparison to the movie everyone hates, Batman versus Superman.
No, but that's what I came to that movie for. Watching superheroes fight at this point is just, it's literally, inhaling and exhaling. I can't see what anyone is going to do at any point in the future to make me look at a superhero movie and go, oh my god, it's magic. I've seen it. How many times can strong people punch other strong people?
But yeah, that Justice League movie is not good. Its only highlights are everything with the Flash.
Yep.
And every time that the Lasso of Truth is used.
Yes.
Literally... Whenever the lasso is used, the movie's great. Even at the end, when you see her finally being the regular superhero who goes out in the daytime and saves everything.
And she's just chilling, waiting for them to tell the story.
Yeah, and you hear in the background, you hear the guy say, yeah, we did that. And then it came to my mind, you know what she should do? She should just go in the courthouse and at every trial, just wrap it around the person and say, guilty or not, did you do it? And he's like, yeah, we did. And she's like, lock him up. Next one. Did he do it? No? All right, he's really innocent.
Do you think that... So
self-incrimination is illegal.
As opposed to being a superhero, couldn't she literally just walk through town, just touching it on somebody and saying, did you do anything bad? And if they say yes, they go away.
But if you make the question too general, people can fudge around with that.
I mean, Tom Cruise was in that movie in early 2000s. Where they put her in some white water. Minority Report, Douglas. Come on, Douglas. It's not that far a walk. Just staring off.
The movie that had Colin Farrell in it.
What am I talking about?
Yes.
I love Minority Report.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. That movie's great.
You just said that. It's residual love from a time when you didn't have sense. You know that movie sucks.
Leave me on my Minority Report love alone.
If I can accept that Equilibrium is a bad movie.
No, you cannot.
Listen, I love it. Hey, right, hey, son.
As long as
son,
we're on the same page.
Let's be clear.
Because, yeah, it's a bad
yeah.
movie. It's horrible.
There was a time I thought that movie was the best movie of all time. But I've grown to know bad movies when I see them. That movie, not no bueno. But
I remember when I watched
Gunkata is still fun to stare at.
And I thought to myself, Douglas, is this really better than The Matrix?
Uh-huh. And then I accepted, this movie's better than The Matrix.
another dumb Justice League thing that I love, Douglas talking about mustaches and CG. I remember when this movie was being promoted and they were casting everybody and everybody was getting excited. And then we heard that J. Jonah Jameson was going to be in it.
Yup. Who's that?
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons.
Ah.
Commissioner Gordon.
Mm-hmm. And they had even pumped up some crazy promotion showing J.K. Simmons working out and getting super buff.
Right.
And then in this
movie, was that for this? Yeah. I thought that was just a random thing from years ago.
And
no?
And then this movie shows him in a suit for 3 seconds and just says, yeah.
Done. And then he disappears.
Yeah.
Yeah. The editors got the movie and like, Snyder not putting out another 4-hour movie, dog. This movie's it's 2 hours max and just cut shit.
This movie's
I didn't like the bad guy in this movie. I didn't like any of that shit. Oh, boy. I don't know.
Essentially, I they stole that, the bad guy from Thor 2. You realize that, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
Taika
can't make all movies going forward. I get that.
Are you sure? I'm sure we can put him in some overseer role and he can kind of fix most things. Can I tell you the one thing that I really loved about this movie, and I guess we've all agreed it's not a spoiler in any sense, is almost everything Superman about this movie.
Yeah.
When he comes back and the Flash is fighting him and you see the slow motion of Superman tracking him and you're
and then his face.
Yeah.
You watch Ezra Miller flip the fuck. Oh no.
I loved in the final fight when it was basically all of them struggling and then Superman comes in and is like, are you guys having trouble? Can I help?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've wanted for so long. Like Superman, either you find someone that is capable of fighting him, and it has to be a person. I don't want them fighting any big monsters anymore. It's boring as shit. Or you make Superman do what's his name? The first Superman Returns. Remember that scene on the roof where the guy was shooting him with the gun, and then he walks up to him and shoots him in his eye. You're like, yeah, that is what Superman is. Just accept that Superman is that, and then when he turns it on, just have him be late. For whatever reason. But whenever he shows up, whatever the war is, it is over. But everybody's like, I know this Green Rock bullshit. And Lois Lane and his mother. He's so bad at it. Everyone Martha. Knows his weakness. Don't do that, Andrew. You better than that.
The big guns.
Yeah, see, that was funny.
Right? Actually, I didn't think that was funny. I thought it was dumb, but sure.
I thought it was actually going to be a kryptonite gun.
So did I.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a big gun.
Yeah.
Especially when Alfred said, but whew, those are really big guns.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when it was like, good job.
All right, cool.
Good job. Whichever of the 90 screenwriters wrote that.
But yeah, Superman, this movie funny, is like, whatever.
Like when he was like, hey, Flash, you take the truck on the right.
Yeah.
I'll take the guys on the left.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. And you saw him fly past. Yeah. How was it taking this long? How did we have to go to the darkest, shittiest period of the movies to finally go, hey guys, superheroes are for children. Just make them fun. Taika Waititi saw through all of that. In his first movie, he made Doctor Strange better. He made The Hulk better. He made Thor a person.
Doctor Strange was great, though.
Yeah, but in the 3 minutes that he was in Taika Waititi, he's better than his entire movie.
Just literally just shifting around is...
Yeah. Mm. How is it that Taika realized, this is a thing for kids, so we can make it fun?
I think it's because he's a child.
Yeah. Like, Chris Nolan got away with Batman because he's literally the one comic book person that fits Chris Nolan's brooding horseshit. No one else gets to do that. Everybody else has to have fun because you're superheroes. I don't want any more UN talk in the Marvel movies. I don't want any more of that. Right? I just want them to have flashy superpowers. X-Men lost their way. Like, it's just like they kept getting more and more serious, like anyone gives a shit. Right? And what's the best X-Men movie to date? That last one with Logan. And that's the funniest one that they put out in a very long time. That little girl is a dream. Douglas, you can get upset all you want. Right? But it's the best one. And it's the funniest one.
I hate it. Yeah. So much.
Yeah, we understand. Just me.
X gonna give it to you?
X gonna give it to you is the best one. Yeah. Douglas, I get it. It's bad. I too saw the end of that movie. I agree we should take it out. But the rest of that movie is spectacular. Listening to Professor Xavier swear. Yeah, all right. I win. Douglas is
I'm laughing at you laughing at
you're an idiot.
I'm laughing at how moronic you are.
I like that movie more than Deadpool.
So
I think it's funnier than Deadpool.
So talking about fun movies, there's a movie I want to talk to you guys about because we're done talking about comic books and Justice League and shit.
Of course.
If we do this, we're just going to keep going for like 5 hours talking about random comic books. I got around to watching Greta Gerwig's film Lady Bird.
I want to watch that movie.
This week gone by.
Boo.
Boo? Why are you booing?
Because you get to watch a movie. In like a theater.
Yeah.
I hope they give you so much schoolwork you can have a look at a theater.
I've already pre-bought my Star Wars ticket, so I have to watch that.
No, I mean, that's manna from heaven. You have to have that or you'll die.
But Lady Bird is kind of fantastic. And at the same time, I want to talk about something about these movies. So, like, this movie, if I'm assuming you guys have at least seen a trailer, it's about a young girl who is in high school, about to go to university, and she's always striving to want to go east and go away from her family and kind of, as she puts it, go to a city with culture. And her mother just, you can feel the mother just want to slap the child, being like, grow up, right? Your grades are shit, come on. And she actually says some things to this effect to her throughout the movie as they continue to battle each other in trying to encourage your child versus stop saying ridiculous shit to me. And I remember a time, Damien, I'm sure you remember this time, many, many years ago, like 15 to 20 years ago, we would have watched movies like this and we'd sit there and be like, no, that child is like, they want to strive for something. They should be allowed to strive for something. Now I watch this movie and I'm like, no, that child is a monster and that parent is from heaven and should be given all sorts of praises from the Lord Jesus Christ. As she walks into heaven immediately after seeing what she's gone through with this child. And
testify. Is it sad that, okay, just to break this story for 1 second, that is my favorite line from
The Bugle.
Zaltzman.
Yeah.
Testify. Okay.
But yeah, this movie it's one of those heartwarming films about this teenager growing up, but also watching her just kind of do crazy dumb things. She goes to this Catholic school and you get scenes of her with her best friend stealing the wine and wafers out of the church. And you hear people shouting at her that you shouldn't be doing that. She's like, it's not been consecrated, it's fine. Right? You get what is my favorite thing about this movie. Constant scenes of people talking about how they love the Dave Matthews Band, which I don't know when it became popular to hate the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, from a long time
ago. It's been a while.
Yeah, from like not day one, but day two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. Uh huh. That's accurate.
I still like the Dave Matthews Band.
No, I too kind of like them, at least the memory of them, because I haven't listened to them for 100 years. But yeah, it's super.
Yeah.
It's the thing to do now. And I imagine that they have done what a lot of aging musicians have done, which is get bad. Mm-hmm. So I imagine it's easy. It's a lot easier now.
I mean, I haven't heard any new Dave Matthews Band in a while. But I hold on to my memories, and they keep playing the song Crash in the movie, and I'm like,
oh, but that's a great song.
I still love that song. But it's one of those movies where it's not just about reminiscing about 20 years ago when Dave Matthews Band was popular in some sense, and you remember all of these memories of you in high school, but it's also one of these great movies where you see these teenage friendships and all of these things going on, and it's fun, right? It's a fun movie. Like, it's not just the battles at home where you're watching and you're having these drama between child and mother, but it's all of these teenage interactions become a fun film, and it's one of those movies where the more you pay attention to the dialogue is the more you realize this is definitely a Greta Gerwig film. Like, it's definitely a film made by someone who's spent the last few years just doing wonderful things in Noah Baumbach movies. And she makes characters who definitely Damon is going to say, I don't know any teenager who talks this smartly. And that's a word officially for the podcast, smartly.
Goodly.
Yes. But at the end of
is
the
it
day,
an L-shaped smarty.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it was a fun, enjoyable movie, and it does well to do what Brigsby failed to do, which is to balance having these fun, interesting, hilarious scenes matched with heart-filled drama of family struggles and mother and daughter fighting, and I loved it. And Dave Matthews Band, guys.
Yeah, Dave Matthews actually Band. I definitely really want to watch that movie, but I do not know when I will get the chance. Hopefully soon,
when Google Play tells you
is available. That's when it's gonna happen.
Did you say anything this week?
This week, the only... So I've been watching some TV, but the big thing I guess I would have watched is the Netflix... The Netflix documentary about Jim Carrey being an asshole. Jim and Andy.
Was he an asshole?
They try hard to pretend like he wasn't. But he was.
It's clear to everybody.
It's clear to me.
And you know them when you see them. Yes. You've had experience.
Oh boy, so much experience. So I guess it's true. He did do what he did, or what they said he did. But I was sad that the clips weren't as funny, that it wasn't, you know, that funny asshole that you could laugh at. But there were some, like, shenanigans, right? And they do this thing, especially closer to the end of the movie, where essentially they try to make it look like, and maybe this actually happened, but I doubt it. I figure it's one of those things, you know, like when you realize you're coming to the end of a relationship or of a situation, and you just think to yourself, you know what? Let me just go with this for another couple of days and then it will be done. That's what I imagine it is. But they try to play it off as, and then the whole cast and crew accepted it. And they were happy. And Damien, this man, you know what this man did? So Jim Carrey spoke to Andy Kaufman's family as Andy Kaufman. And that television
wanted me... Oh, my God.
Yes. And that television wanted me to believe that they accepted it and spoke to him in that way. And had life-changing experiences because of it. And maybe they did. Some people are weird. And Andy Kaufman was super weird. Maybe he came from a weird family. I don't know. But if somebody did that to me, I feel like I'd slap them.
Is this documentary good?
I think I'm not a good person to ask that question because, you know, I already have the bias. But it was fine. So if I thought it was fine, maybe it was good.
Bias.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I will say is my favorite part of this movie wasn't necessarily the, like, explanations, the talking head bits. Even though it was interesting to watch Jim Carrey try to he didn't defend himself, but when he spoke as a man who did not think he did anything wrong.
Of course he didn't.
Who actually thought, you know, this is normal, which is interesting. The thing that I really liked about this movie was when they went and showed you the clips, and in at least 8 out of 10 of those clips, it wasn't just Jim Carrey, it was, you know, everybody else. And somewhere in the background was Paul Giamatti. And he played in the movie, I can't remember his name, Bill or Bob, something like that, who was essentially Andy's sidekick. And, you know, best friend kind of guy. But he would be in the back, whether it was while they were getting makeup done, whether it was he was just in the background of the scene, whether it was he was just sitting down eating some food. And Jim Carrey would do some shit, and you would just see Paul Giamatti's face. Like, you know, when you and I are watching something and we kind of half made up the face like, what the fuck? And half about to smile or laugh because maybe should this be funny?
Right.
Just that look of, is this really happening? And
is this real life?
That did it for me. I love that. And of course, you have Danny DeVito in at least the first bit of it going, yeah, this is weird, but this is how it was like. This is what it was like when he was around. I want a documentary on this documentary of somebody explaining to me the real story, right? Mm-hmm. Saying, okay, these guys really like Jim. We'll tell you that the cast all hated him and never worked with him again. And I don't know how true that is or not. But I know if I was a part of that cast, fuck you, Jim Carrey.
Oh, look, I'm going to sell used cars now because I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah.
Something as simple as he would go into the makeup van, whatever it is, trailer. Mm-hmm. And I guess because he's a star, he clearly had like his own section. That was almost like the separation between first class and coach. And on the step going from coach to first class, he would just put like handheld radio, but like more like a boombox, and turn it all the way up and just have some shit playing. And it wouldn't even be facing him. It would be facing everybody else, the people in coach.
Right.
Turned up to 11.
Right. Uncomfortable volumes.
Uncomfortably loud. And you just see them shaking their head like, it's Jim Carrey, what am I going to do? I'll get fired, he won't get fired.
Right.
Yeah.
I also watched things that made me uncomfortable.
What did you watch?
I was going through movies, and I found two movies that I had, but hadn't seen. And so, knew they weren't going to be good, because I was told by either Andrew or Douglas at some point, these movies aren't good. The first was The House, which you guys told me point blank.
I haven't watched that yet, but
don't do this.
Andrew was not pleased.
But there was enough people from the league in there that I went, this is fine.
There was enough Rafi.
And everybody else. It was other people.
Everybody else. Give me Rafi and I'm good to go.
I like the person who showed up late in the movie.
Yes.
That was a great moment.
There's a person, actor that should be too big to be in this movie. I showed up in this movie. And it was great to watch him I mean, he didn't play anything out of character, but it was just fun to watch him like that. This movie feels like a thing that the people from the league would have made. It's not as funny as the league because they have to tell one broad story and make it appeal to a larger audience than I assume the league appeals to. And they can't make it in... They don't have time to make it as dumb as they want because the league, you have this long stretch of time to explain why these idiots are the worst people. But they have to narrow it down with this one. There's a point where the two leads are talking to their daughter and clearly lying to her. And at some point she says, "I think you two are lying." And both of them just laugh and walk away from the table. I'm like, congrats. But the rest of the movie, like, it's boilerplate, you know. If you think hard enough, it is
so essentially
what
you're
you
saying
think it is.
I'll probably kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's, right, that's what it is. It is a, you can probably kind of like this. And, but then it took a turn for the worst. There's a movie called Life.
Oh!
Life. What's Life?
Yeah. I saw, okay. So, I saw your, your review of this movie. And... I had to search this. Damon, why are you using Radiohead lyrics? How have we gotten to Radiohead?
Because it applies to the movie.
Oh, that movie, Life.
Yes. There's that spacecraft blocking out the sky. There's nowhere to hide. This movie's bad. Like, there's a movie that people liked a lot about two people in space, and then George Clooney would rather chose to die in the endless in the vastness of space rather than be close to a woman his own age.
Solaris?
Which is great. Yeah. Which is still one of the most tremendous jokes I've heard in a long time. Someone made Gravity and then everyone else went, "I can make movies about space." And the guy in charge of aliens has lost his goddamn mind. How hard can it be to make a movie about an alien that attacks people in space? Turns out, maybe Ridley Scott can't do it because no one can do it. Maybe it's impossible to do this at this point. Because you haven't seen Life.
No, I have not.
So what happens is, at the start of this movie, Ryan Reynolds catches
ass. Is it strange
ass.
That when you keep saying Life, I keep thinking about the Eddie Murphy movie?
Yes, and that's good. That's very good. You're the only person that does that, so congratulations. Ryan Reynolds
that
catches...
movie also.
Real bad.
Not good.
Ryan Reynolds
I remember liking it.
A spacecraft, and then they bring on board samples of dirt from Mars. And they find Life.
The Martian. No. I've seen The Martian. I like that movie.
No, Douglas. You've seen alien movies before, right?
Yes, I have.
What do the aliens do immediately after you wake them up?
They
murder everyone?
Eat you.
Right. Now, imagine if this thing that is trying to kill you doesn't have a mouth.
You know?
I think we need to send him to school. Like, he needs to get back to school tonight. Because he's losing it over there.
Well, they could be like, I believe this is Star Trek 2.
Yes.
With the Wrath of Khan.
Right, Electric Boogaloo.
Where they have the worm that goes in your ear and then murders you by doing something to your brain.
Right.
That could be what this is.
Yeah? Except no.
Okay.
No. All right. First, it strangles a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Does it get him to tell the truth?
Then it goes into Ryan Reynolds' mouth.
Oh, and then, so not anal, but oral.
But then doesn't explode outwards. Mm-hmm. Like, it just leaves his body. It just comes back out. Like, it just kills him and then comes back out.
Oral, so you're saying it's the knockoff alien?
Yeah, except it's not getting more menacing as... Like, the design of the thing that is murdering everyone is shitty.
So the legal department made sure they couldn't be sued. That's what you're saying.
Right. That's basically what it is. Like, it is a moth. It is transparent and flying all over the place, but isn't scary at any point. And so halfway through the movie, they're like, this shit isn't scary. We need to give it a face. Something that will terrify people. But they got that wrong as well. And by the end of the movie, it's of course down to two people, right? Because it's always two people. And one decides to sacrifice themselves to save the human race. And it ends how you think it ends, badly. But the movie's... like, this movie, I've never seen a more formulaic movie in my life. It's, you can see where someone watched Aliens and went, we don't want to be sued. It is what Disney is doing with that Coco movie. Where they saw a Book of Life and went, we can't be sued for this. So we're doing this again. But let's change just enough to not be sued by Ridley Scott. And it's bad. It is really... like, I've not seen a movie about space in a long time that is even remotely good. They're all just bad. The one with... what's his face from Guardians of the Galaxy and...
is it Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yes. That's what it was. Uh-huh. You win, Douglas. I'm finished. If you wanted me to stop talking, you could have turned off the mic.
All right. One more thing I want to talk about. It'll take me 2 seconds because I'm really just going to say...
good.
Whatever.
Good. Lost in Space. That's what I'm talking about.
I finally got around to watching the new season of The Trip, The Trip to Spain, with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. It's more of the same, less Michael Caine, more...
Michael Caine.
They kind of laid off Michael Caine this time around. Lots like literally it was in the back half of the season someone had to say his name and that triggered them, but for the most part they're like, no, we haven't been doing that. Lots of guy from Rolling Stones whose name I can't remember now.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger and David Bowie. And
yes, they do Mick Jagger now that I think about
it.
I've seen them do that before.
The show still fascinates me because I enjoy seeing the way they play with themselves as characters, because every season does pretty much the same thing. They continue to show Steve Coogan being this guy who thinks more of himself, thinks he's a bigger actor than he is. Like, the one joke they keep doing this season is how many conversations can Steve Coogan start with Philomena? Just being like Oscar nominated twice for Philomena because he wrote that movie.
Okay, yeah.
And Rob Brydon being the guy who can't stop doing voices, but at the same time, he's almost that guy who knows who he is. He knows he's the theater or the lesser known actor, but is happy with it. He has a happy family. While Steve Coogan is... family-wise all over the place and always looking women in these shows and stuff and looking kind of desperate and depressed and weird. And I still enjoy watching how this all comes together. What I was actually interested to do this time, and I haven't done it yet because I just finished watching the TV cut, the 6th episode. I've never actually watched any of the shorter film version cuts of these. And I'm planning to try and watch the shorter film version of this some point to kind of see how it feels, to see what they actually cut out to kind of make it shorter and see how it works. Because, I mean, it continues to be a show where it's a lot of caricatures and them doing voices and crazy things. But it's... I know you guys kind of soured on it at some point.
Well, I never saw it on it. I just stopped for some reason. I watched maybe the first two or three episodes of the first season and just never kept going, and they've gone past me. I would like to try and watch it again.
Like,
I remember enjoying
I think one of the things that really got me this time around is the... I can't remember. Like, throughout all of the show, there's generally a point where Steve Coogan will be like, guy, you can stop now. You can stop doing the voices. But I don't think it was ever as prevalent as in this season, where there's actually a long sequence when they're having a conversation with other people, and then he starts talking about the Moors. Which triggers Rob Brydon into just doing Roger Moore impressions for like a full 5 minutes, just making Roger Moore jokes. And you can see at a point he's like, all right, you can stop, dude. And he just keeps going, and it becomes this moment where you just kind of see the wheels turning, and you wonder, I think to myself, I think this might be the best representation of this podcast. Damien just keeps going, and I'm just there every week being like, oh, all right, you can stop now, Damien. I get it. I'm a horrible human being.
You are. You should stop being wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, I continue to love this series. I've never watched the movies, so I'll call it a series. Trip to Spain, season 3.
What Andrew doesn't realize is that the silence here has nothing to do with him, yes, and everything to do with the dumb shenanigans that we're doing.
We're
silently
very stupid.
Are you guys like playing Scrabble? Well,
Scrabble would be a constructive use of time. To describe what we're doing would make us sound like psychopaths. I'm not even going to bother.
But we already know you're psychopaths.
No, this one is bad. This one, we should... No one... Me and Douglas should know, because we're bad. We're the worst. But no one else. I'm glad you're not here to see this. Because you'd have shut off the podcast. So what we did... I'm guaranteed this would have been the time you got...
All right, now you have to tell me. What are you guys doing?
No, that's fine. That is fine. Remarkably stupid. But yeah, I've been watching more TV shows. I don't know what happened that allowed me to... Oh no, I didn't watch any... I remember now what happened. I didn't watch any sports this weekend.
So the only thing I watched was... Because I woke up very late both days. Mm-hmm. I watched the second half, or started watching the second half of the Chelsea match.
Right.
So I had already missed three
all
goals.
All of the excitement.
I then took maybe 2 minutes to go to something else, came back, missed the fourth goal. So I watched the boringest of Chelsea matches.
I woke up and went, oh no, I didn't change my fantasy team again. And then proceeded to watch the second season of Another Period, which is still tremendous. A Comedy Central show where it's basically a spoof on Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I do know that show. And Michael Ian Black has something to do with it, right?
Yes, and everybody in that show is tremendous. They continue to come up with more and more ways to be dumb. There's a thing called lawn boating. I think I told you about the last time when there's...
I think I remember.
Yeah, where there's also the day moon, which is the sun, which is also spectacular. there's things in there that are truly tremendous. And I enjoyed the second season. I don't think there's a third season. But I didn't really check. I just watched the second season and laughed very hard. And then moved on to the stupid cartoon that I was watching from the last time. Because there's more episodes and I wanted to see what happens. It's not getting any better. But I have about 5 episodes to go, so I'm going to watch that. I think Teenage Damien would have enjoyed this. If you're a child, you should continue watching anime because they're making it. And I don't know if it's technically better than what, like, the animation itself, I don't know if it's getting any better because they all look the same, at least to me. But I'm sure if I went back and looked at the older ones, they'd have gotten better over time. But this one, it is... They don't spend a lot of time drawing out... like, you remember anime, they take like... You know the thing that is about to happen, but it would take 14 episodes to get to the thing that you want.
Oh, that's what you mean by drawing out. I thought you meant that the animation was bad because it didn't spend enough time drawing it out.
No.
Oh, you idiot.
You stupid, stupid man. But they seem to be. And
that's what I used to hate about.
Right.
I used to call them Dragon Ball Z anime because that's where I first saw it.
Right. Where like,
noticed it at least.
There's a fight that is obviously about to happen. And they're like, but we'll see you in 14 weeks.
That's actually due to the seasonal thing that's been going on. So like, all right, this is dumb. So we've known this from when we were younger. There were always animes that were shorter and they'd run for 3 months and then that'd be it and you'd maybe hear about it 2 years later, kind of like British TV and shit. But at the same time, there were always the bigger shows like Naruto and Bleach and stuff that literally was forever. It just kept going. They never stopped making it. And they still have that now. They still have the new Naruto, I think, called Boruto, and One Piece is going. And
is
stuff
it that they went through the the alphabet.
Yes.
So they went Oruto,
no.
Paruto,
no.
Kar, all the that way back
dumb.
To me.
And they're like Aruto. Nope.
So they still have those big animes that are weekly and never end, and they will have all those things we hate now, Damien.
Ah.
But with Academia, they've made it into the seasonal thing, so it's 13 episodes, and then we'll catch you next year.
Okay. So I'm just lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just picked the right one.
Right.
You picked the right one.
It's a straight buck up. Sorry. But yeah, they're just like burning through. Like, if I caught myself saying, you guys could have, like, wanting them to spend some more time somewhere. And they're just like, no, dog, we have to move this along. Like, I don't give a. Like, the thing that I am used to is having the protagonist train for an inordinate amount of time. It's like, I have to be better, and they show you like step by step how they. But in this one, this dude isn't training. Like, he's just like, all right, you have these powers. No, here's this test, and here's a tournament, and here's your apprenticeship, and they're just like burning through. Just like, listen. He's being taught by someone and they're just pushing everything along, which is fun. It's fun to watch. And I caught up with The Flash, which is, who gives a shit? The place
that
I'm
getting. Yeah, we talked
about
him already. Ezra Miller is fantastic.
You're right, Ezra Miller is fantastic.
I just want to let everybody know who's listening. Ezra, other Flash people, you need to know this. I want, right before the Flash movie comes out, as a part of the marketing.
Right. You're saying both?
Please make the Flash, first of all, please make the TV show Flash still be on.
Right.
And just one of the episodes, have it be in the timeline, in, you know, what the next episode would normally have been. But just make Ezra Miller be the Flash in that episode.
Just have him run past the normal Flash.
No. He is the Flash.
Ah.
And
they just swap out actors for a day.
Yeah, they swap out actors.
And
says anything. Maybe you can have a joke like the 24 Drum Street joke.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. But no one says anything or does anything.
Yeah.
And then the very next episode is just back to regular Flash.
I really want that to happen. It will not happen.
Yeah.
But it needs to
happen. Oh, Lord. That's pretty good. I want the Flash to confront Usain Bolt. And ask him why he lost his Speed Force. She's like, oh, that's why he's so fast. He's literally one of these guys. None of that is important. I was told that after 3 years, they made one good Walking Dead episode. And I said, maybe I should watch The Walking Dead. Hadn't seen season 6. Hadn't seen season 7. And so I sat down and I begun.
Begun.
The Walking Dead.
Was it one of us that told you this?
No. The internet said there's a good Walking Dead. You guys don't have the vision or the clarity of vision to know when something is bad. You guys just wade through it and hope for the best.
Yes, I have a Walking Dead episode ready to watch.
Apparently, it's this one that you have.
I quite like this episode. Yes. But yeah.
So everybody's like, after 19 years in the wilderness or the desert or whatever it is. So I started and they're in a community. They find this community with people who are taking care of everything. And then they had to kill the leader of that one. That is where I stopped. And so in the other season, I'm like, all right, they're going to hold this stronghold. But then there's new people that come in and are the worst. I got me about 3 episodes in and then went, I don't care how good this episode is. I don't care if Dragon show up. That is, unless they can pull a Game of Thrones and have Khaleesi come and burn vampires, nothing can redeem this show. That show got way worse. Like crazy. Is it even about, at where you guys are at, is it even about zombies anymore? Do zombies show up in that show anymore?
Yeah.
Or is it just,
there is a saber-tooth tiger.
Is it just brand new people who are, like, I accepted that there'd be small pockets of people who would take this opportunity to become monsters. I get that. What I don't understand is why, having survived this terrible thing for this long, all of the remaining survivors wouldn't go, what we should do is come together, because living like how we're living now is the fucking worst. But that never happens. No part of human nature proves this out. It's never, people have gone through a lot of bad shit in this world, and it's never gotten to there. At any point. At some point, people are like, we hate each other, but you know what we should do? Pretend to like each other long enough to build something. And then when we've built it up enough, one person will be the biggest dick and take all of it for himself. And we live like, but we shouldn't just kill everyone on sight. None of this makes any sense. And I don't like The Walking Dead anymore. So what I did instead, so I went back to the first episode where the guy couldn't shoot his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And watched that and went, that was episode 2, I think, of season 1, where the black guy was unable, the guy with the stick now, was unable to shoot his
Lenny
wife.
James.
Yeah.
I think that's his name.
He didn't have a name.
T-Cozy is his name.
And watching that, the CG was worse.
Oh, of course.
But the episode was good. I felt bad. And then I deleted all of the work. I don't need any of this. Netflix will have this forever. And so now I'm free. There's no more Walking Dead on my box. I thought about keeping that one episode. And I went, I'm all right. So I watched 4 more episodes of Walking Dead. I was very upset. And then watched one good one. And now I'm free. And then the next day was told that there was one good episode. Mm-hmm. But I don't care anymore. Walking Dead is bad. Is The Arrow better than Walking Dead?
No. No.
Okay. It never got to that bad.
Never got that bad.
All right.
It feels...
I question myself every week that I watch The Arrow.
It felt like what... what's that show where he murdered everyone? He was a police officer and murdered everybody.
Funny show?
No, man. And it was on Showtime. And it was a blood detective, Dexter. Yeah. That's what it felt like. It felt like it was getting into Dexter territory, where the premise already didn't make a lot of sense, and they just kept pushing against the premise, and I'm not feeling it. It still felt better than True Blood, though, so I guess it's still...
You got further. Watchable. You got further than True Blood, and you enjoyed most of it that you watched.
True right? Blood?
No, the no, first this. No, I'm Walking Dead.
Yeah, right. I enjoyed 5 seasons, I think.
I remember loving True Blood.
Yeah, the first season is really incredible. I still have it. I watch it from time to time. It's still very, very good.
I hate that there are shows like True Blood and like Dexter, where I started out loving those shows. And I have not completed them, but I'm...
You shouldn't.
Close. Don't. I think I'm, for both of them, I think Dexter might be 1 episode, maybe 2. And for True Blood, I think I might be, you know, 3 or 4 behind, before it ended. But...
You remember Lost?
I don't think... I never watched Lost. Oh, I don't, good. I don't think I ever really care that much to finish them.
Because they're not good, dog.
Yeah, which is sad.
Yeah. I'm right here. I can hear you. Lost is fantastic.
What you can do is what I do. Just keep the good ones. Right? Remember when Community came back and we were excited?
Yeah.
And then it was trash.
I don't think I finished that one either.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. You know what I did instead? Stop watching that. Deleted all of those episodes. Mm-hmm. And then
I remember there was rewatch the good ones. There was one episode that I thought,
right. Then we were like, yeah.
Right.
And then the very next episode, you're like, yeah. And then I stopped because I'm not going to do that to myself. I don't need to see. Because I like that show enough that I don't need to see it be bad. And
what was that again? Was it Yahoo?
Yeah, something like that.
That did the last season?
Yeah, it was Yahoo.
Yeah. Ugh, wow.
And, but it happens.
How did you watch that? I mean, Yahoo doesn't... How did you watch that?
The internet provided.
Did they create YouTube or something? Like,
they had their own streaming section. Like, you could upload... it was just very few things.
My God.
Mm-hmm. You know, Yahoo. The streaming service, Yahoo.
Who bought them out the other day? Or wanted to before they got hacked? was it... Was it Verizon?
Verizon was trying to buy them. Because, you know, when I think quality...
But Douglas, let's remember, they were the final thing to be mentioned in in Halt and Catch Fire. So they have their legacy is forever known.
Like, I feel the same way about Hacker TV show on USA.
USA Hacker... Oh, Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
I like that show.
Yeah. Season 2 didn't do it for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm still watching, but did I just catch up? I think I just caught up with it. But I think there's an episode on, like, tomorrow or something.
Andrew, is season 3 of Mr. Robot good?
Andrew doesn't watch it. Andrew hates
fuck
it.
Mr. Robot.
Wait, so you watch Injustice or whatever. What is the new the ones on TV? Inhumans. Yeah. Like, oh, Inhumans, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh, Mr. Robot. But no.
That's how I roll.
Fair enough. You roll poorly.
What I'll say to you, Damien.
Yes.
And I don't know if you really care about this guy, but what I'll say to Andrew.
Yes.
And maybe it will, you know, push him in the right direction, is that season 3 has Bobby Cannavale in it.
I've seen the pictures. It's not helping.
You? I actually like him in the show. He is one of Andrew's favorite actors.
Look, Douglas, if I couldn't finish watching HBO's Vinyl.
Oh, that's right.
Right. Which only lasted a season.
It did.
How am I going to go to Mr. Fair Robot?
Enough. Fair enough. Bobby Cannavale is...
He's the bad guy in Spy.
Do you remember Blue Jasmine?
Yes.
Do you remember her sister's boyfriend?
No.
Okay.
Spy. the bad guy in Spy.
I have clearly blacked that out because I don't...
Melissa McCarthy's Spy.
Oh, all right, yeah. Yeah.
He was in that movie?
Yes, he's the bad guy.
Okay, yeah, I know who you're talking now.
I just remember 50 Cent is in that movie.
Why would he make anyone want to watch anything?
He makes me want to watch it more than
I like him. Like, I think the first time I saw him was
he's
in
cool.
the
I
HBO
like
show, the gangster show with Steve Buscemi, Boardwalk Empire. I think he showed up like two or three seasons in, and I loved him in that show. And ever since then, I've just been like, if I see him, I want to watch it.
Yeah, what made me kind of like him was a little bit of your enthusiasm, but then after that, when I really got into Chef, because he's in it, and he's fun and dumb in it. You know?
He's in Adult Beginners.
Yes, he is.
He's in Blue Bloods.
Oh, really?
He's in Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
he's in a lot of Win-Win. Bad things, don't worry.
He's in I Am Not Rappaport. He's in a lot of things, as you said.
Yeah.
He's also in Ant-Man.
Yes.
And Win-Win. I love Win-Win.
Yeah. Ant-Man.
He was the
stepfather.
But anyways, I think this podcast is well on over.
Yes. I suppose we have gone an hour and 36.
Boo. We didn't talk about tech.
Yeah.